With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Buyers Agency Australia.
Know, without a full-time kind of steady income, you know, wasn't able to borrow anyway. So I dabbled in, you know, shares a little bit, you know, some wins, some losses. But when I started as an intern doctor, I knew I wanted to get into property investing.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Daniel Lamp, a doctor and avid property investor from Sydney. While neither medicine nor property investing are embedded in his DNA, he shares what got him into both of these fields and how he works to strike the perfect work-life balance. Lamp works as a GP and is proud to help people from all walks of life when they need it most. However, he knows the importance of taking care of himself, including his financial health. In his free time, he's also combined his two passions to run meetup groups for doctors and healthcare professionals interested in property investing.
So very varied. So I currently split my time in between general practice and also working in emergency at the hospital. So I guess in the general practice clinic setting, I see patients manage their chronic conditions, do preventative care, you know, check results, things like that. Whilst in the emergency department, usually it's more kind of acute or emergency type presentations, you know, patients come in with a problem and my role is to come up with a diagnosis and then also a management plan. You know, they might come in with heart attacks, strokes, infections, know, injuries that need stitching, mental health crisis. It's a real mix. Both my roles, I use my problem solving skills, which I quite enjoy. And it's great helping people, meeting people from all walks of life.
He's keen to buck stereotypes, starting with how he got into his profession.
Coming from immigrant family background, not particularly well off growing up. And I guess importance of education was distilled in me as well. But in regards to medicine, unlike the stereotype, my parents didn't actually push me into medicine or anything like that. You know, I wanted to choose a degree, a career where there was, you know, science and academic as well, but then can also interact with people and make a real difference in their lives. I applied for medical school and was accepted.
A Hong Kong native, Lamp came to Australia at 3 years old. While he and his family quickly found a place to call home, he found himself venturing north when it was time to spread his wings.
Initially in Western Sydney and then later kind of in the northern suburbs, kind of Hornsby area of Sydney. I went to high school in Baulkham Hills High, which was a selective school. So, being a heavy emphasis, I guess, on academics. I wanted to choose a uni degree where I could, I enjoyed science, but then also wanted to, you know, have a real world application and impact on people. So, you know, applied widely for medicine and was accepted, I think, for Western Sydney and also Newcastle. I liked Newcastle's program and it was a good lifestyle living there as well. And enjoyed my time studying there.
So I'm just curious now, do you know why your parents moved from Hong Kong to Australia when you were very young?
So I think that was around the time of 1997 or so handover of Hong Kong. back to China. And I think that was part of the reason. And also, I guess, wanting, you know, a better life, like lots of immigrants in Australia was offering, yeah, opportunities, which I guess I'm grateful for.
He grabbed all the opportunities he could with both hands, though like many young people, he temporarily lost sight of his goals. Luckily, a reminder came along at just the right time.
It was a bit of a trek to get to, I remember that. But in terms of the environment, going to class, teachers, quite enjoyed it. One thing does stick out in mind is when I was in year 10, I remember being called to the deputy principal's office. And I was like, oh, you know, what have I done wrong? You know, my mind churning. And then I found out that I was in the bottom 10% of the cohort. And kind of, it was kind of like a wake-up call to try and, you know, pull things together. And I did, soon after that, have the goal of wanting to study medicine. So I knew I had to try and, you know, so I implemented a plan, you know, consistent action, you know, lunch times, using that to study it as well. And ended up at the end of year 12, going from bottom 10 out of 200 to the top 10 out of 200. So that was a real achievement, and I was quite proud of that.
While the moment in the principal's office gave him a nudge in the right direction, it wasn't what drove him to study medicine.
I wouldn't say there was one particular incident or reason. As I alluded to before, you know, I quite enjoyed the science, all the sciences really. But then I wanted something where, yeah, I guess a bit of real world application and kind of employable skills, you know, rather than, I knew some people that had gone down, say, medical science route and then hard to get employment after that as well. So there was that practical side of it. But also as well, I guess, from my interactions with doctors growing up, you know, overall had quite positive influences, and I guess that opened up my mind. And I guess, you know, being a selective school as well, you know, there were some colleagues that were interested in medicine as well. You know, other things I thought briefly about was like law and stuff like that, but I'm glad I chose medicine over, say, law. Yeah.
And I'm really curious then, after you finished high school, did you go straight into studying into medicine at Newcastle University, or did you take some time off to potentially, travel and see the world, or did you do any work or jobs or anything like that?
Yeah, so I guess medicine, you can go either undergraduate route or the graduate route. The trend, I think, from what I hear nowadays, is more unis are leaning towards the, you know, doing an undergrad degree, then going to postgrad. But at the time, you know, I went into Newcastle, which was undergraduate 5-year degree. And yeah, it was a good time, you know, learning the theory in lectures, but then also, one of the highlights was the early clinical placements, where you had, you know, could actually meet patients and see what you were learning being applied to them. And also, obviously, like, you know, other uni degrees, there's a lot of, you know, self-directed learning as well. And yeah, it was good. But towards the end of the 5-year degree, I, you know, couldn't wait to start, you know, working.
He wasn't exempt from working hard while studying, and also capitalized on his skills early on.
I did save up my money, and towards the end, I knew I wanted to get into property investing, so I knew I needed to start saving for a deposit. So, yeah, did a lot of casual jobs, retail, and also had a tutoring business as well, helping people mainly with maths and also to a medicine entry as well.
While his jobs came in handy when it came to saving, they alone weren't enough to jump into property. Always a problem solver, Lamp had a solution. Or so he thought.
You know, without a full-time kind of steady income, you know, wasn't able to borrow anyway. So I dabbled in, you know, shares a little bit, you know, some wins, some losses. When I started as an intern doctor, I knew I wanted to get into property investing. Basically, I did shares initially, and, you know, I remember one share tripling, but then I had another, you know, I think it was a mining share that dropped 90%. So it kind of balanced each other out, I think. by the end of it, and scrolling through the share prices every day, I don't think it was particularly great use of time. And I guess I did think ahead, wanted to improve my circumstances financially, and I could see, just saving by itself is important, but needed to take the next step and invest in some assets as well. And I could see lots of Australians believe in and love property as an asset vehicle. So I did a lot of research, and then later when I was an intern doctor, attending some meetups, looking at forums such as Property Chat, and listening to podcasts such as this one, and just getting all the information I can, and then later applying it.
Was there any particular book or anything that you stumbled across that kind of give you insight, or was it just mainly the forums and listening to podcasts and talking to people at meetups?
Yeah, I don't think there was one particular book. I do remember reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, which I think a lot of people do, and that got me just mindset wise interested in in investing, and also partly business as well, rather than just being an employee. But obviously that book doesn't directly apply to, help you with buying property in Australia. So yeah, use a wide range of resources.
His parents were in professional roles, but not within property. Although property didn't run through his veins, the Lamb family has always worked hard.
My parents, have their own home, but weren't, I guess, taught or particularly did property investing. So my dad, once he eventually did have to retrain, I think he was initially in IT at the time, and my mum was an accountant and in Sydney is a bookkeeper.
Coming up after the break, Lamp shares where his profession has taken him.
So I was an intern in Sydney. I worked in a variety of different, roles and locations. You do different terms, rotating every, 10 to 12 weeks or so.
How and why property investing appeared on the horizon.
I could see property allowed, leverage, can get steady cash flow from rental income, and obviously, of course, capital growth.
He shares the highs and lows of his first investment experience.
There were hiccups along the way, when friends and colleagues ask me about property investing, I tell them to expect hiccups. It's not going to be just smooth sailing.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Sharm, and you're listening to Property Investory. Do you find yourself stressed out not knowing how or where to find the best property deals? Or what the best strategy is to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Well, Dragan Dominski can help you, while you save time and money. With about 2 decades of experience as an investor and expert buyer's agent, he finds positively geared properties with development potentials and secures and negotiates off-market deals for his clients. Now, he's offering you a no-obligation 45-minute strategy call to get you started. Just simply text the code BAA with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 to get your no-obligation free 45-minute strategy call. His role has led to many opportunities to travel and work across Australia, both in cities and rural areas. He found venturing into the regions proved somewhat of a culture shock.
So everyone after medical school has to do junior years, internship, and then a resident before, potentially going into specialty training. But given there's so many junior doctors nowadays, usually people do a couple more years of, junior unaccredited training before getting onto a training program. So I was an intern in Sydney. I worked in a variety of different, roles and locations. You do different terms, rotating every, 10 to 12 weeks or so. So I worked in, you know, very busy tertiary hospitals in Sydney, all the way to some rural locations, such as even, you know, outback, you know, Broken Hill in New South Wales, Griffith in the Murrumbidgee region, and also in Mount Isa, you know, in northern Queensland. So, you know, in the more rural locations, as there are less doctors, you know, there was an opportunity to kind of step up and upskill. And at these smaller hospitals, you do see some really sick patients, but you have less resources available. So I do remember, you know, being part of the team trying to resuscitate some really unwell patients and then trying to coordinate with the Royal Flying Doctor Service to kind of retrieve them out to more major centres for more specialised care.
During these stressful times, Lamp certainly felt challenged and ultimately took away many important life lessons.
It was obviously challenging, but I guess, you know, the training kicks in, you know, do the basics, you know, go through a system of what you can do, what may be wrong with the patient, you know, examination, investigations, and then trying to figure out a management plan, you know, involving specialists or retrieval and things like that. So, yeah, it was a good learning experience. With the staff, I could see being a smaller team, you know, that everyone knows everyone by the first name and can kind of work together as well.
Excellent. So you've gone through, how many years was that to do your internship?
I did 3 years, I guess, in the hospital system. And then I then applied and was accepted into general practice training. And that was another 2 years, yeah.
Wow. So let's say all up, 10 years of your life has been pretty much up to training until you actually become a qualified GP. Is that correct to say?
I've had some friends and colleagues who, you know, trying to get into other specialty training programs such as surgery or, you know, those ones instead of being general practice 2 years, those could be, you know, 5-6+ years further. So, yeah.
As with many people dedicated to their profession, Lamp has a specific reason he chose the path he did of becoming a GP.
I could see in the hospital there's a lot of really unwell patients, but some of the conditions, you know, could have been prevented by, you know, could be diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, things like that. You know, kind of if seeing them towards the pointy end in emergency and intensive care where, you know, you can try your best, but you know, imagine if we could prevent that in the first place. So that kind of drew me towards general practice. I'll be honest, I think, you know, with some of the highlight in the media as well, there's a lot of challenges in general practice and preventative healthcare and the system as well, and politics, which I probably won't get into in this podcast. But I guess that's what drew me to that as well. And also, yeah, but I mean, partly as well in terms of, you know, I don't have to do night shifts, you know, in general practice and things like that. But, you know, from working in healthcare, I can see that, you know, it's really, you know, not just the doctors working hard, but also the nurses and the cleaners, and especially in some of those smaller regions I worked in, I could see everyone kind of pulling in together to try and keep the health system going and, you know, providing the best possible care in challenging circumstances. Yeah.
Well, it's been really interesting. And then since then, you've been a GP all the way through?
Yeah. So recently got my fellowship, but I'm still, working in the hospital, in the emergency. Sometimes I enjoy that mix and also keeping up my skills as well.
After receiving mixed results during his experience with shares, Lamp turned his eye to property towards the end of his university degree.
I could see property allowed, you know, leverage, can get steady cash flow from rental income and obviously, of course, capital growth. And also, I guess, I found out that certain professionals can get into property with, you know, 10% deposit and not have to pay lenders' mortgage insurance, you know, such as doctors, nurses, accountants. So I could see some of the advantages with property. And I guess my mindset was that I need to be investing even from early in the career, because at the time I could see, you know, these doctors, you know, more advanced in the career around me, you know, so busy looking after patients, you know, doing overtime, doing night shifts, on call, working 60 up to 100 hours a week. You know, they had no time really to take care of their own physical health or also their financial health. So I could see, you know, just working and working for so many hours for decades on end, you know, was not going to be sustainable. So yeah, I guess, you know, after in my first year as a junior doctor, you know, I was 23 years old, you know, I had saved up a deposit and had done the research. You know, I didn't get any handouts from my parents. My salary as a first year doctor was, you know, $60,000, you know, and I had around, I think, $90,000 in savings. So I guess, you know, with 10% deposit, stamp duty, buyer agent fee, solicitor fees, all in, I had to chip in, you know, $80,000, which I remember at the time was so daunting. You know, I had watched, you know, my savings build up over time in the bank account. And then I remember feeling like sick in the stomach, you know, pretty much having to put all my life savings into this one investment property. Yeah.
After growing up in Sydney, the Harbour City was Lance's first choice when it came to locations to invest in. However, the timing just wasn't right.
But I could see that Sydney had just peaked, and for my budget, I could see better value in another state. I could see that Brisbane was undervalued at the time and had good fundamentals. I did use a buyer's agent for the first one because I guess I wanted someone to hold my hand for such a big investment decision, especially kind of first investment, you know, wanted to make the right choice. So I bought in a suburb in the North Brisbane, you know, reasonably close to the city, had good amenities. And, you know, at the time, you know, there was a piece of land in an infill suburb, and then separately engaged a builder with a fixed price contract, built a, you know, standard 4-bedroom, 2-bath, double lockup garage, all in for about $560,000. I did want to point that this is different to, you know, those house and land packages where, you know, like a marketer or spruiker sells you the whole package in a very far-flung suburb and they get a, you know, like a 20% markup. You know, in general, I'm not a fan of house and land packages. But back to this one, you know, I guess in hindsight, the downside was that the land was not yet titled. You know, initially I was told, you know, only be, you know, 2-3 months, but it ended up taking almost a year for it to finally get registered, which was really frustrating at the time. I guess one silver lining was that the market was still going up and I only had to pay interest on the land portion initially. Only had to pay stamp duty on the land and not like a house and land package where you pay the stamp duty on the full value. There were hiccups along the way, which, you know, when friends and colleagues ask me about property investing, I tell them to expect hiccups. You know, it's not going to be just smooth sailing. So I guess in this case, the initial building plans submitted to council were declined, you know, as apparently it needed a specific distance between the back fence and the back of the house. So then, you know, back to the drawing board, you know, further delays, you know, paying more interest. But in the end, you know, construction got started, you know, I got regular updates with pictures and it was very exciting, you know, once we got to the completion stage.
Excellent. And how long did that take to complete the whole build from purchase to the end?
I would say around a year, all up. And when it came out time to kind of trying to rent the property out, at the time it wasn't a hot rental market. You know, one prospective tenant, kind of wanted an extra aircon installed in the master bedroom and I guess negotiated and they were happy to pay $20 extra a week in rent if I put the aircon in. So I did. And I guess this is a lesson in terms of trying to come up with win-win solutions for everyone. Yeah.
He bought the property as a fixed price building contract and used a mortgage broker to organize the construction finance. When all was said and done, it was 2018 and time to start the process again.
So I just sat on it while I continued my medical career. And then later, I did buy my second investment property. So I do have an interesting story for this one. So I had finished a set of 7 night shifts in working in intensive care at the time. And then, you know, I hopped on a plane to Brisbane. And then in this weekend, I just inspected, you know, 10 to 15 properties kind of back to back. Yeah, had a rental car just going around. There was one property that fit the criteria that I was after. You know, this one I felt a bit more confident to do on my own as well and do my research. So there was one property that fit the criteria, and then I put in an offer and, yeah, it was accepted, which was very exciting. This was just before the 2019 federal election, where there was lots of market uncertainty, you know, people, you know, holding off decisions, you know, waiting for this event, but I pulled the trigger anyway. So yeah, soon after election, the Brisbane market, you know, started taking off, and then I bought that one for $625,000, and today be between $1 to $1.1 million.
Between this and his first property, now valued at $900,000, he's made some excellent returns in a short period of time and is ready to keep rolling.
Yeah, so got the two investment properties, and yeah, looking back, you know, with the second property, which I purchased myself and actually did better than the buyer's agent with the first one, but overall, still happy with the market, I guess, and also, as I said, I avoided some of my colleagues, you know, unfortunately bought like the really wrong asset class and gone backwards. And I guess I'm thankful that I've done okay so far, and, you know, keep learning and keep pressing forward. Yeah.
Daniel Lamb's story continues in the next episode of Property Investory. He shares more about his upbringing and how it affected his finances.
Growing up in a not particularly well-off household, I guess, savings habits were instilled in me.
The reason why people like himself are often seen as easy targets for some.
I have had a few close calls in regards to almost buying the wrong type of property.
We dive into how it doesn't always pay off to listen to everybody else's opinions.
And also, not just the whole economy, I think it's also your personal economy.
And that's next time on Property Investory. Do you find yourself stressed out not knowing how or where to find the best property deals? Or what the best strategy is to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Well, Dragan Dominski can help you while you save time and money. With about 2 decades of experience as an investor and expert buyer's agent, he finds positively geared properties with development potentials and secures and negotiates off-market deals for his clients. Now, he's offering you a no-obligation 45-minute strategy call to get you started. Just simply text the code BAA with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 to get your no obligation free 45-minute strategy call.